I'm not finished yet talking about submitting to the Word of God. I can't give it up. I feel so strongly about submitting to God's Word. It works in my own heart. Sometimes the words that I want to share with you about what God does in my heart never can really come out of my life. I want it to, but it's really hard. I know how important it is for me to submit to the Word of God. I know it's sometimes very difficult. So the first thing I want to do is I want to make a little more sense of it. I know you say, hey, we're in the third week of hearing you about it, and you don't even have a video today. One of the things that I think needs to be said is this. I think some people are confused about some issues, and I need to clear the air about some of these areas. How to make sense of biblical submission so that we will all understand. Some of it may be really obvious to you, and for others it may not be. Some people are confused and will say that they are committed to God, but not necessarily His Word. You know what I mean? It's a person that will say, oh, do you love God? Oh, yes, I do. Do you want to do His will? Oh, yes, I do. Well, do you submit to the Word of God? Do you obey it? Do you want to do what God has said? Yes, I want to do what God has said, but doesn't necessarily mean I submit to the Word of God. You say, hey, that doesn't make any sense to me. But sometimes people talk that way, and in their rationale, that is how they function, if you know what I mean. They somehow make a distinction between the Word of God and a distinction with God Himself. I want to love God. I want to do what God wants me to do, but don't ask me to do everything in the Bible. Don't ask me to study the Word of God. Don't ask me to listen to the Word of God. Don't ask me to do what it says. But if you ask me if I really love God and all of those things, oh yeah. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, let's have a starting point this morning. Matthew 4, 4. It's an interesting verse, but not taken seriously enough by our standpoint, because Jesus is actually talking to the devil. This is the so-called temptation of Christ. Jesus answers the devil in Matthew 4:4 and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from where? Out of the mouth of God." What proceeds out of the mouth of God? Listen, folks, let's not be naive or silly. We have the Word of God given to us. God does not speak that we might ignore Him. You say, I don't ignore God. Yes, you do if you do not submit to the Word of God. Do you understand the distinction? I'm trying to make sense of all of this with everyone. Don't think that you can say, I love God and ignore His Word. Don't say that I want to do God's will and I will not do what God says, or I think it's optional. You must make sense out of what God says. God tells people, man doesn't live by bread alone. We make jokes a lot of times about eating. because when I preach, it's so close to lunchtime. And if I hadn't mentioned it now, you wouldn't have thought about lunch, right? But now that I have, just remember, man doesn't live by bread alone. One of the interesting things is this, ever since I had that stent put in, all of a sudden scrutiny comes with weight issues and what I have to consume in my mouth, you know what I mean? Paula sometimes says I'm kind of obsessed with fat-oriented food, you know, that it's like Dracula's coming at me with fat, so I, back, and it's kind of a weird deal, you know. But one of the things that occur to you along the journey is that man doesn't live by bread alone, you know. I don't have to feed all of my appetites all the time. Once in a while, I watch the Food Network. I don't know if I do it to torture myself or what. But, you know, once in a while, late at night, I'll be sitting there watching the Food Network for some reason, you know. And I'll tell Paul, that really looks good. That looks good. But you know what? I think there's something to be said about discipline and self-control and doing some of those things in my life. So I find some of those things positive. Man does not live by bread alone. But you know what? You do live by as believers, as Christians. You live by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I didn't hear him talk. You have God's word. Make sense out of it. Don't be silly and say, hey, I will submit to God, but I kind of think a lot of his word's optional. No, it's not. He has spoken. We will listen and we shall do it. That is what sense is. We are clarifying with you what God has said. We live by the words that have proceeded out of his mouth. This is the Bible. Is the words of God. It has proceeded out of the heart of God. It is his authority. They are his inspired word. Please take heed, listen, and do. Why do pastors preach? Good question, right? You're sitting out there this morning and say, yeah, that's what I'd like to know. Well, I read a lot, not just the Bible, but I read a lot, trying to fill my mind with different things. Some of the things that people are doing today, I read something yesterday or the day before off the internet. And a fellow said, don't get rid of my pulpit. I thought, what's the big deal about pulpits? And he said, well, there was a time when people were starting to push the pulpit away. In fact, in Roman Catholic circles, and I'm not real versed with Roman Catholic circles. Some of you are individuals who came out of Roman Catholicism, several of you. But is it true, folks, that the pulpit is to the side in Roman Catholic churches and the Eucharist is in the center? I don't know. I'm told that that's how it plays out in a lot of Roman Catholic churches. And I do know that some people are trying to replace the pulpit. And I don't know how I feel about some of these things, but they're putting, like bar stools out, and I've seen it done. I've seen it done before where there's a bar stool put out and there's not a pulpit and they kind of, sit on it, they get off of it, they put their Bible on it, they walk around, but there's no pulpit and I guess it's more conversational that way. Not sure how I feel about it. But this guy said, if you take the pulpit away, it came back during the Reformation in a big way, the pulpit. So he said, don't take my pulpit away from me. He says, we're building a new church building. He said, I want to know where you're going to put the pulpit, he said to the people that were building it. And I found that rather extraordinary because I've never heard that before. I thought, you know, well, you know, if somebody takes the pulpit away, I'll still preach with or without a pulpit. But he says that is where the Word of God needs to be centered. And maybe that's taking it too far. But I do know this. Pastors need to preach the Word. Pastors need to preach the Word of God. And why do we do what we do? Look at 2 Timothy 4. This is the classic passage. You know, we're told in Romans 10 how beautiful are the feet of them that preach. Well, I don't know how beautiful my feet are in one sense, but in another sense, anybody that preaches the Word of God is doing something that is extraordinarily good because you are sharing with others what God has said. We're not talking about good stories. We're not talking, you know what? We are all unconsciously this way. If somebody comes and a missionary comes and they tell one good story after another story, people will leave and say, wasn't that a great sermon? Inevitably. I've heard it dozens of times in my many years of being saved. People will, if a missionary comes and tells one story after the other, and maybe he started the sermon out with one verse and never referred back to it again, but he told one story after another, and he leaves, and everybody says, man, that was a good sermon, wasn't it? And I always hesitate to say, but he didn't really share the Word of God. So I usually keep my mouth closed just because people seem to be encouraged and edified, and I'm sure they can last somehow or the other. Preachers need to preach the Word of God. Let's clear the air. And it says this in 2 Timothy 4. Paul tells his disciple, Timothy, I charge thee, I am pushing you, I am exhorting you, I am telling you as strongly as I can. Therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, the living and the dead, at His appearing and His kingdom, what should you do? Preach the Word. But what if people don't like it anymore? And a lot of people don't, do they? Have you noticed a lot of people don't? Every week somebody tells me this. Listen. Every week somebody tells me this. Well, people are really interested in what kind of programs, what kind of music. It's not a rare thing that I hear pass by my desk, my telephone, somebody personally coming to me, somebody speaking about it, I read about it, or whatever else. People want a good music program. People want to hear about all the programs. People often will call up on the phone and they don't ask about the Word of God. Do you preach the Word in season, out of season? They say, what kind of programs you got? Sure, it's a calling of God. When you look at some of these things, it's a call of God. He tells you got to do this, Timothy. And he says, even if people are interested in it, don't you hate to reprove, rebuke, exhort, all long suffering and doctrine? I hope you don't. I really hope you do not. But you see, as a general rule within the context of Christianity today, that is not that popular. And we're told the time will come. People aren't really going to endure sound doctrine. Do you think some of those days are here? Doctrine's not a bad word. I always tell you this, don't I? It's just teaching. Somebody's always going to teach you something. Somebody's always going to teach. You're being indoctrinated all the time. You ever hear the word indoctrinated? You are being indoctrinated all the time. All the time. But I don't do that much. I don't listen to the media that much. You go to work. You have a neighbor talking to you. You have been indoctrinated by family, by others along the journey. We're all indoctrinated. We need to be indoctrinated by the Word of God. Pastors preach to the local church that God has called them to, and we want the Spirit of God to speak to you. We want your lives to be changed. We want you to submit to the Word. We want the Spirit to somehow, His power, to work through His Word, even though perhaps you may say, if He would only do this, if He would only do that, if I give you the Word of God, may the Spirit of God take it and work in your hearts. That's the desire. I have a long one here. Does submitting to the Word of God reflect on a person or a church? What do you think? Does your personal spiritual success, is it based on it? You're submitting, yes. You know what? One of the biggest questions always asked to pastors is this: why isn't my spiritual life better? Why? You know, one of the first questions I can ask you is this: are you submitting to the Word of God? Be careful about pat answers. If somebody asks you, how's your spiritual life going? Don't say immediately, don't be nosy. It's like, you know, we ask people, how are you feeling? How are you feeling? Do you tell them, don't be nosy? Do we stop saying, how are you? Don't you be nosy with me. It's none of your business how I am. Well, obviously, that'd be rude and wrong on our part if somebody is genuinely interested in your welfare and your well-being. If somebody says, how's your spiritual life? Sometimes we always say things of this nature. Oh, it's great, it's fine, it's all right. All of us have places to go. Sometimes I tell people, well, you know, I'm still plugging away. I'm still striving. I'm working on it yet. I'm trying to attain. I'm trying to work on my spiritual life. Do you realize every day I try to work on my spiritual life, some days aren't as successful as other days? But to tell you that every day my spiritual life is great, why isn't it? You're the pastor of our church. I try to make it a good day every day. I try to think about things. I want to incorporate the Word of God in my life. I want to submit to the Word of God. But you realize your, and we're clearing the air, we're trying to make sense of this, your spiritual life is connected to your submitting to the Word of God. Bereans, spiritual barometer, thermometer, whatever else-ometer you want to call it, is directly connected to the ability of this church saying, I will submit to the Word of God. When so many people in our church refuse to submit to the Word of God, number one, it troubles me personally. And number two, Berean will not be the spiritual entity that we ought to be. We can call it what we might, but to be frank with you, to be honest with you, if we are unwilling to submit to the Word of God and we balk and we rebel and we say we will not do it, I have to tell you that our spirituality and its success is wanting. And that's true both personally and as a church as well. Let's just clear the air. Let's be honest and frank about things. That is what it is. There has to be a desire somehow that I will submit to God's Word. I will listen, I will take heed, and I will obey. And if I don't do that, then the reality is, we're not what we ought to be. I gave you some examples of churches in particular. For instance, you know about 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Paul, what was the church at Corinth like? Do you remember? How would you characterize the spirituality of the church at Corinth? They were what? Carnal, right? Isn't that the word people use about the church at Corinth? What's the first word that you learn in these classes, if you want to call it that? The church of Corinth was a carnal church. In other words, it was very fleshly. Where do they get that from? Well, 1 Corinthians 3, and I, brethren, he says brethren, so he's talking to Christians. He says, I could not speak unto you as unto what? Spiritual. Does that sound contradictory to you? Spiritual brethren. But I thought if you were a Christian, you were automatically spiritual. You belong to Jesus Christ, but it doesn't necessarily you're living the spiritual life. He says, but you're carnal, you're fleshly, even as unto babes in Christ. See, the direct problem was this. He says, I have fed you with milk. Why didn't Paul give him, the real stuff? The meat, the solid food, the good stuff. You're going to go home today, all of you adults, and you're not going to want to just have milk or pablum or whatever else you want to call it. You know, that's not enough for you. You say, boy, you know, that's not going to sustain me. You know, you men are saying, you got, what do you got going here? I hope you got some chicken. I hope you got some beef. I hope you got some pork. I hope you got something going here. I'm hungry, right? He says, I had to feed you with milk. You couldn't bear it. Yet, he says, you're still not able to. He says, as a result of that, you don't act right. You act fleshly. You envy. There's strife. There's divisions. You're all kinds of problems going on. You're at each other. You're not living the life. You have not submitted to the Word of God. And it's been a problem. You see, this is the clearing of the air of where we want to go. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations in every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. You know, one of the things that exalts itself against the knowledge of God is just pure rationalizing, I don't have time, I don't want to take the effort, I don't want to do it, I'm rebellious. You don't usually tell yourself that. You know that, don't you? You got other bigger and better reasons. These are the imaginations, and there's other things involved in imaginations. The world is working against us and so much else, against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I need to allow the Word of God, both personally and us as a church, to do something. I want my spiritual life to be different. How am I going to do it? Is it some magic spell? I need a divine zap. Lord, will you zap me today? I want it now. And you see, a lot of people are clamoring for it. A lot of people want toys. I just want to feel good for a few moments about my spiritual life. And if I can get really excited in a church service for a few moments, that may sustain me. Listen, we live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And we listen and we obey. I like what it says in the book of Philippians. You know, one of the reasons why the church at Philippi was such an essentially good church? It says, in this I pray that your love may abound yet and more, yet more and more in what? Knowledge and all judgment. This discernment, that ye may approve things that are excellent. How do I know it's excellent? Only by submitting, listening to the word of God and submitting to it. That ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. It has changed my life, and I need to continue to strive to be that person. The author of Hebrews chapter 5 says in verse 11 through 14, it says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing. Don't be dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of meat or solid food again. But everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But meat, solid food, belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Making sense of all of these things, I think we need a submissive heart, don't you? Look very quickly in the time we have remaining at Psalm 119. And I want to just look at these few verses. How do I get a submissive heart? What are some of the characteristics? What are some of the elements that are necessary for a submissive heart so that I might have this attitude, this spirit towards the Word of God? I got to tell you, it's a problem between you and the Lord, and it's a problem that you do not take the Word of God as seriously as you ought to. I like what the psalmist says. He says, thou art my portion, O Lord. He says, you're my portion. If somebody's your portion, it means that you have a real stake of interest in their life. You have a passion for them. You have an adoration for them. If someone is your portion, you love them. I love you, Lord. Have you noticed in the Psalms how often here in Psalm 119, there's a love and ardor for the Lord, but also for His Word. They go hand in hand. Do you see it? This is also making sense of God's Word. Don't make a distinction between God and His Word. They are His thoughts. They are His words. You can't make a distinction between them. Pastors must preach the Word of God. Your spiritual life is reflected on your willingness to submit to the Word of God. The spirituality of Berean is certainly hooked into our willingness to submit to the Word of God. We would not get along at all if you would tell me as a church we are not willing to submit to the Word of God. If you would come up to me as a church and say, Pastor, thanks for your time here, but we don't really like the direction you're going. We don't like all this business about the Word of God. Then we really would have an enormous, enormous problem and would have to come to a separating of our way. Nothing else could heal that wound. I think a pastor, when he comes to a church, needs to tell a church, listen, are you willing to submit to the Word of God if I preach it? And if they say, well, I don't know about that, I think there's many more important things than that. I think the most important part of all is we must be willing to submit to God's Word. We got to do it. We got to do what it says. We are nothing if we don't submit to God's word. So we do it out of love for the Lord. You are my portion, Lord. I have said that I would keep thy word because I love you. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Can't separate the two. Can't separate. Verse 58. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Have you ever entreated God with your whole heart? I'm sure you have. You ever petition God, pray that fervency, that sick child, that illness, that grave concern within the family, that problem, that struggle, the financial need? Have you ever entreated the Lord with your whole heart? Your favor. He says, be merciful unto me according to thy word. You desire the Lord's favor? Yes, I do desire the Lord's favor, but you cannot say, I desire all of God's favor, and yet I refuse to submit to God's word. It does not work that way. You see, this comes, Psalm 119 is a passage, a portion about God's word and a love for God's word. And he says, I want your favor, God. How do you want that favor? With the whole heart. So he says, be merciful unto me according to your word. I want it done the way the word of God says it ought to be. Verse 59 tells us, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto my testimonies. I love the application, don't you? This shows he thought about it. I thought about my way. He had enough wisdom, the psalmist, to say, I gave it consideration. Should I submit or should I not submit? What did he do? He said, I turned my feet to your testimonies. It would be easy for me to walk away from your testimonies, to just say, hey, I got other things to do in my life. But he said, I turned my feet. I deliberately noticed how important my need was in my life, and I turned my feet to your word. In other words, this is an application. He is saying, in essence, that my life turned to you. But he uses the context of turning your feet. Have you ever noticed how hard it is to turn your feet one way and your body the other way? Just can't do it. I can't turn my feet the opposite way and say, hey, you know, my feet go the same direction I do. You know, ever notice that? I can't start walking that way with my feet the other way. I can't do it. It is an intentional desire on his part to submit to the word. I thought about it, I meditated on it, I considered it, I almost went astray, but I went the right direction. Verse 60, notice how he did it. You know, when you know God has convicted you, when you know this is what the godly, righteous thing is to do, God has dealt with your heart. You're not like the man in the book of James who looks in a mirror and forgets the man or person that he is. He quickly says, I will go in that direction. So in 60 he says, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. You ever notice when you delay and you make all these big plans, I'm going to do it someday. It's really hard to do it. Some of you people have made big plans in your life, but you have never made haste to do God's commandments. There needs to be a quickness about it. You say, I will do it. There's a whole sermon there. I have to finish up. Speedy obedience. Verse 61. The bands of the wicked have robbed me. Anything bad ever happened in your life? Doesn't have to, you know, it seems like everybody's against you. I can't win. Troubles are always chasing you down. Trials and tribulations are overwhelming. Sickness, struggles. When is it all going to end? The bands of the wicked have robbed me. They're bands of them. But you know what? Psalmist says, I have not forgotten thy law. He remains committed. There is something very important about being committed. I love commitment. I do. I love commitment. I love commitment on the part of the Bereans. I love the commitment my wife has for me and our children. I love the commitment people have for their families. I love the commitment people have for good things and righteous things. Even when I follow sports, if somebody's committed to a team and dedicated, you can't help but to root for that person. How committed are you to submitting to the Word of God today? I have not forgotten, no matter how troublesome times are, no matter how dire my needs are, no matter how terrible things are going in my life, I will rejoice in you, O Lord. No matter good times or bad, I know you are God who is always there, who is always with me, even unto the very end. And this affliction is but for a moment, and I will not stray from my commitment to you. At midnight. Why midnight? I thought to myself. I guess because it's not the ideal time. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous ordinances, thy righteous truth, thy righteous word, thy righteous judgments. Grateful to God and his word no matter what. You know what? I might be tired. I might be exhausted. I might say, I'm exasperated, but I will rise up and say, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you. And finally, the last two verses here. I am a companion. I like this too a lot. As I read this, I want to thank you for your companionship in the Word of God. If we did not have this companionship in the Word of God, everything would break down. Do you know that? Everything else would break down. I'm not about we're not about social matters. We're not about all these things. They play a part. But we are about the Word of God. I am a companion of all those who fear thee and of those who keep thy precepts. Thank you for being my companion in the Word of God. Thank you that we can share truths. Thank you that we can bound ourselves together with those who love the Word. I want our tribe to increase. I want more people to come by our side who love the Word of God. I want those people to always be my companions. I do not understand those people who say, I particularly enjoy being with the unsaved. I particularly enjoy being with other people out there. Boy, I really enjoy that. Please. There's something the matter with you or with us if we don't want to be companions with those who love the Word of God. And finally, the earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Since God is so merciful and so gracious, what should this part B as well. I want God to teach me thy statutes. I want to listen, take heed, respond, and submit to every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The psalmist requests that God will humbly instruct him, and that is true. May we submit to God's word. May we make sense of all that God says to us and do it. O Father, deal with our heart now in a very special way, O Lord. Thank you for your precious word, because these are your words, Lord, not just because we somehow are attracted to a mere book. It's your word, and it's precious to us. Thank you for it. May we now, before you, Lord, as you watch us and know the very heart of everyone here, may we submit to it. May every one of you that's here today say before God, I will submit myself to your word. May that be your heart. May the Spirit Himself speak to us here and say, Lord, I will submit to your word. If I never have before, I will from this day forth submit. No matter what, I will turn my feet to you, to your word. In Jesus' name we pray, O Lord, that this may be true. Amen. Pete will come with closing hymn, a few announcements as you leave. And yeah, I trust that this is true today. I pray that you might promise this before the Lord.